Okay. Now this is probably going to be the last message on the manhood thing that we're going to be about. I think this kind of wraps it up. A whole lot more could have been said and could be said. It's been a blessing and a help to me to study this and preach this. And it's been listened to more than any of the other messages have for a long time. These things have really, you know, that shows me that there's really a great need and there's a great hunger. You know, I see it everywhere, people wondering where the men are and what's happened. You know, what in the world? Because you don't have to be too knowledgeable to just look at the past and look at the men of the past and then look now and you see there's something really missing here. Something really drastically wrong here. And so the answer is always in the Word of God. You can go to the Word of God, you can look to God, and you can find out what's wrong, how to fix it, how it got that way. And that's kind of what we've been doing. So now today we're going to read this verse, and I've got several other verses I'm going to read through the message here, but we're going to talk about the legacy of a man. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Amen. Okay, well, let's pray. Father, thank you for the songs and thank you for each one's here this morning. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, that's worth more than anything else in the world. What a precious thing to have this opportunity. And I pray you would help us now. And I pray you would guide and direct our thoughts and our lips that we'd say the things right. And Lord, I pray for those who are hearing and listening, I pray that they would hear right. And Lord, that they would take this as it is the Word of God and that they would assimilate it into their thinking and correct what's wrong in their thinking if there is something wrong and be conformed more to your image. Help us now, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, every person leaves behind something in the hearts and minds of those who knew them. Now, we all know that, don't we? You know that when somebody dies and goes on, they live their life, they leave something behind them. They sure do. That's something to think about while you're living. What are you sowing? What are you leaving for other people to remember about you? The effect that we have on the lives of other people will be remembered. And there are certain things we'll be remembered for particularly. Isn't that true? Oh, it is. You think about people that you've known through the years and people that you know right now, and there's some outstanding thing about them. It may be something silly. It may be something that's really insignificant, but it's them. And that's the mark that they leave on everybody. That's the impression. That's the thing that everybody thinks of when they remember that person. And that's the way it is. Our manner. They might remember our manner. There are certain things. Just the kind of person we were with other people. That's what we're going to leave behind us. Oh my, you ought to take heart to that this morning. You ought to take heed to that this morning. Whether you're a man or a woman, it doesn't matter. Or a boy or a girl, you need to realize that you are going to leave a fragrance behind you or a stink. That's just the way it is. I'm real eloquent, you know, that when it comes to that. I don't know how to say it any other way. More expressive where you can understand the reality of it. It might be the way we criticize and are harsh toward other people. Or it might be our goodwill toward other people that people remember us by. And, you know, a lot of people got a distorted idea of themselves in that manner, especially. Everybody judges themselves way too lightly and liberally when it comes to how judgmental and critical they are of other people. And they judge other people much too harshly when it comes to how they think about other people. You understand what I'm saying? It's lopsided. Chances are we're all more critical than we think we are. Other people see us as more critical and judgmental than we do see ourselves. It might be our selfishness or our benevolence, but there's going to be something about us that people remember. They're going to remember us, and there's going to be an impression. There's going to be a label on us in other people's minds after we're gone. There already is while we're alive. But after we're gone, it's just cemented. It's settled. I mean, it's fixed forever. Not only will it be remembered, but it'll be repeated and passed on to the next generation and the people whose lives they affect as well. You see, we affect people by our manner, our attitude. If we're bitter and critical, we'll cause people around us to be bitter and critical. If we're that way, our children are going to be that way. And then when we're dead, they're going to be teaching their children. And they'll do it in a much more effective way than we did. I mean, boy, it's something that gains power with each generation. It sure does. We all leave a mark on other people. And it may not be apparent while we're still living, but it will appear, you know, after we're gone. It may not be something that we can see while we're living, how we affect other people. And it may appear that we're insignificant in our life, that we're not affecting anybody. Oh, but you are. You are. Absolutely, you are. We're either a blessing or we're a curse. And whichever one we are shows up more after we're gone in the lives of those we have touched. Y'all hear me? That's the way it is. This is our true legacy, or that which we leave to others as a token of our life. What I just described there and what I've just said so far, that is our legacy. It's not how much money you made. It's not how much property you gathered together. It's not anything like that. It's what the effect of your life was on the lives that you touched. That's your legacy. Were you a minus or a plus? Now, any life lived in the will of God and submitted to the divine order of God will be a legacy that's going to be cherished by others, and that is a fact. Any life that is lived in the will of God and lived in the proper place in the order of God's creation that you belong. All this craziness about identifying as a girl when you're a boy and all that. Well, what's going to stop people from identifying as a cat? There's people who do that. I've seen all kinds of people. They think they're a lizard. They think they're a cat. They think they're a vampire. They think they're all kinds. That is insanity, man. It ain't reality. That's not the way it is at all. We live in as what we are, what God made us to be. And the creation is clearly ordered. There ain't no men that were born wrong and they should have been a woman. Ain't no such thing. God decided that. God makes no mistakes. You got a messed up, warped up, sin-cursed world and people that are messed up because of it. Sin, I've told you so many times, sin causes depravity. Insanity. It is moral insanity. That's what sin is. And so it ain't no wonder that it drives people crazy and they act crazy and they do crazy things. Nope. The life, and those lives are never blessings. They're curses. They mess up everything. They cause confusion. They cause strife. They cause hatred and all kinds of stuff. The only kind of life that is a real blessing and that leaves a positive mark is a life that's lived in the will of God, in the proper place, in the order of God. If you're a man, you're not going to be a blessing, and your legacy is going to be a negative if you don't live as a man. And if you don't be a man and fulfill your duty as a man and your place as a man, your responsibility as a man. Likewise for a woman. It's the same thing. if she will not fulfill her place and do her duty that God has prescribed and God has laid down, her life will be no kind of blessing like it would if she did. Well, that's right. While they're alive, people might be despised who live right. And they might be despised and rejected, just like the Lord Himself was. But after they're gone, the fruit of their life starts to come in, and their memory will become precious. Do you understand what I'm saying to you there? I mean, we're living in a world that's against God. So somebody who does live in the will of God, and who does fulfill their purpose in the order of God, they may be despised and rejected of men while they're here. But their life's going to produce something. They're sowing just like the Lord. They crucified Him. At the end, it looked like His life was a complete failure. He was alone. They all forsook Him and fled. Paul, the apostle, at the end of his life, he said, "They've all forsaken me. No man stood with me. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me." Looked like at the end of his life, it was a failure. But obviously, it wasn't. Obviously, with the Lord, his life lived on this earth was not a failure. It was one of the greatest success that ever was. So, never mind what it looks like right now. Judge righteous judgment. If a man lives a life as a man, as prescribed in the Word of God, and he lives in the will of God, and he fulfills his responsibility, he's leaving a legacy, a mark that's positive on the world and on everybody's life who he touched. Now, we've tried to show clearly that a man is to be what God made him to be and what He made him for. And if he isn't, that he'll not be a blessing when he's gone. But what will follow his life is disorder and confusion and trouble. Now, we tried to show that through all of this. And that's the truth. You know, if a man won't step up and be a man, a godly man, a man after God's heart, a man like God Himself. What is the measure of a man? It's the measure of the fullness of the stature, measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's the man that's the measuring stick. And you know, I was sitting there thinking about this a while ago, and let me throw this in, but you know, since I mentioned that, people listen to the things that I preach here, and other men preach, and they sit there in the pew, and they argue and contend with it in their mind, because their life, or their family, or whatever, doesn't measure up to that. And they come up with all kinds of excuses and rationalizations in their mind about how, you know, they just dismiss the truth because it doesn't fit in their life. Well, let me tell you what this is. This is preaching. This is the Word of God. This is where we hold up the standard. You're living in a sinful world. Nobody has attained to the absolute mark. But we have to have a standard to attain to. I don't preach the half and half. I preach to you the full counsel of God and the way it is supposed to be and the way God meant for it to be. Look at that and strive for that. What if we had no ruler and everybody just an inch was just whatever it was to everybody wanted it to be, you know? An inch was an inch, whatever you thought an inch was, whatever you wanted an inch to be, that's what your inch was, but somebody else's inch might not be that way. If we didn't have a ruler to go by that says an inch is an inch, what kind of a mess would we have? How could you build a house? How could you buy boards? How could you buy anything to fit anything? There has to be a standard. And that's what God's Word is. And that's what we're preaching about. And if you don't measure up, and if your life don't measure up, and if your father didn't measure up, and if your son didn't measure up, that doesn't matter. Your life doesn't change the truth. We need to conform to the truth, not try to figure out the truth by our experience in life. So, that's the way it is this morning. and every morning, and every time I preach, I'm telling you the truth as I see it in the Word of God. This is the truth. And if I don't measure up to it, then I need to get right with God and say, I'm wrong. I need to change the way I think, because that's the truth. And you do too. Now, back here to where I was. Men get old if they live a full life. And before they leave this world, they should reap some of the fruits of stepping up to do their duty to God and others while they live. You hear me? Stay with me now. I'm talking about, I've almost called this the crown of a man. But it goes on past that. You know, maybe this is what I should have did, is preach a message on the crown and then the legacy. But we're going to wrap it into one here. Men get old if they live a full life. And they ought to enjoy, they ought to benefit, they ought to be rewarded some of the benefits of being a man before they leave this world. A man who lives many years and proves his manhood by faithfulness. Faithfulness. Being a true man. Doing right. Righteousness. By his righteous living. By wisdom. He's lived his many years and proven it by a consistent, steady life of faithfulness and righteousness and wisdom and godliness and love for his family, then he's earned a special place of reverence. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32, this is the law of God. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. Yes, sir. Now, that's what God says. If you don't agree with that, you don't agree with God. God says you will do this. This is a moral issue. It's not a preference. It's not something that you got to understand and it's got to come from you. I mean, this is what God said. This is a moral issue. This is the way that it ought to be. This is the way it will be if things are right. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. That's the verse we read when we started here. If it be found in the way of righteousness. Now, an old gray-headed fool who's lived a life of debauchery and immorality and drunkenness, and he's still that way, his hoary head is not a crown of glory. It's a shame, isn't it? So the Word of God is true. A man, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Now his strength will fade away, but he's already proven it. So he loses no honor because he's weak when he's old. Y'all listening to me? These are things you need to get a hold of and remember. The glory of young men is their strength. And the beauty of old men is the gray head. An old man doesn't need to be physically strong to be honored. Let me read you some verses here in 2 Samuel 21. There's always been something that I thought, my, this little thing here. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down, and his servants with him, and fought against the Philistines. And David was old. And David waxed faint. Now David, the giant killer, the lion killer, the bear killer, the one who killed 1,000 Philistines, or 200 Philistines. Yeah. All he was asked was 100. I mean, David, the mighty man of war, waxed faint. And let me see if I can see it here. Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giant, and the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. He was about to kill David, the giant was, because David was weak, because he was old, and still out there trying to fight. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, Thou shalt no more, go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. You're going to get us all killed, or you're going to get killed. You're not doing it no more. Now that was not a dishonor. That ain't what they meant by that. They didn't mean, you're too old to do this anymore. They meant, you're too important. You can't be doing this. You're the king. You're the one everybody looks to. You're way too important to us to go out here and get killed by one of these Hamites. It always got to me, old age is a part of the life of a man. And he ought to wear it with honor if he has been a true man. Old men get weak and they get, I guess they think they've lost their manhood. Manhood is not found in strength alone. I've tried to get that across to you. Tried to be balanced in all of this. And you know, if folks would listen to all of it instead of just picking out little parts, they'd understand that. They'd have to acknowledge that I've been balanced in this, trying to teach you that a man is not just puff and blow and tough and strength and all that. There's something about an old man who's been a soldier that just brings forth the respect and honor of others in a degree that just never happens when they're young. Now, you know that's right. And if y'all ever see, there's one thing that I see on Facebook that's pretty neat, and that's that Greatest Generations Foundation. About every day or two, they've got another one on there. It's in the old World War II vets that are dying off every day. They're disappearing. But they tell about them. Tell their story. Tell when they die. Had one on there the other day, 100-year-old man. Had his 100th birthday. He was a pilot in World War II. Told about how the two German planes shot him all to pieces. And they hit him behind the seat with a bomb, a grenade or something, and it knocked him out at 36,000 feet. And he lost his plane. You know, he went spiraling down. And he was unconscious. He said about 2,000 feet off of the ground, he come to, and he got it back. He got his plane back under control. And said the Germans flew along beside him and saluted him and let him go. Honor. But when you see that old gray head, and you know a little bit about him. See, you go to restaurants and stuff, and you see them old men, you don't pay no attention until you start talking to them. Find out their story. In a nursing home, you see them, and you don't know. But when you start finding out their story, it just brings something out of you, doesn't it? Respect. That hoary head is a crown of glory. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. You will. It's something there that this brings it out. That's part of this reward of being a man. Hey, you boys, it pays off eventually. You live the life of a fool, you're going to be sorry. You live like a man, and you step up and be a man, and you live honorably and righteously. And there's a day coming when you'll be glad you did. There's just something about it. You know, there was a thing I seen here a while back, and it was like a commercial, but it was this young grandson or something come home. He was in the service. And the old man showed him upstairs putting on his uniform. An old man. Still had his uniform, you know. And he put his uniform on and come out to meet that grandson or whatever it was. Does something to you, don't it? It just draws out of you reverence and respect. That was earned with a life of being a man. Being the kind of man that I've talked about here. It's that principle of my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you see that old man losing his strength, his physical strength, there's something about it that makes you appreciate what he's been already more than you did when he was that way. These young guys, like in World War II, I mean, you're talking about 18, 19, 20-year-old boys did all that. Now they're old men. Now you have much more respect for them now than you did when they were young back then. You know, they've had to live a lifetime with all that, what they did and what they had to do. That affects what they are and their character also greatly. As his strength fades, listen to me, the memory of what he has been should be superimposed when we look at him in his weak old age. Don't you think? Oh, I do. Let me read you this little quote here. This is the test of your manhood. How much is there left in you after you have lost everything outside of yourself? Your health, your strength, your life, your stuff. How much is there left of you? How much is there left? Esther's always talking about the nursing home, people up there, men up there and everything. And, you know, think about it. It's sad. You know, when you know people through the years and you remember them being, I mean, living their life, strong, working, doing things. And now they're old and feeble and they're in a nursing home and they've lost their freedom. They've lost everything they've got. And their family's dead, their wife's dead, you know, and the kids don't come and see them. Sad, ain't it? And you'll find different things. You'll find different kinds of people there. You'll find men that are pleasant to be around. You'll find men that are still honorable, still respectable, still what they've always been, even though they've lost everything. And you'll find others that are vile and vulgar and filthy and hateful and insane. The finale of a man's life should be a crown and honor. But it's a reality that there are circumstances where some men only acquire this honor after they're dead, like they do a lot of soldiers who are given their medals posthumously. You know, now that's after they're dead. I saw, it was you showing me that here a week or two ago about the one I was talking about a week, maybe last week, that got his leg shot off and he walked on that stub and on his knee and kept a shooting. He didn't die laying on the ground, a cowering. They gave him the Congressional Medal of Honor after he's dead. He was a store clerk from Ohio or somewhere up there. Nobody thought much of him while he was living. But when you see what he really was after he's dead, your esteem of him goes way up, doesn't it? That's the way it is sometimes. Now, a man ought to be rewarded while he's living by his family, those who know him, by others who've seen what he is and know what he is. He ought to be rewarded. But he's not always, that's just not always the way it happens. Sometimes it's after they're gone before people really begin to realize. And as a matter of fact, it's that way with just about all of us to a certain degree. You don't appreciate somebody until they're gone. You really. You think you do, but after they're gone, you begin to realize how much value they really were to you and to others. Normally, there those who truly know the man should see that he receives the honor he deserves while he's still with him. In his weakness, the young men who are strong should step up and take hold of the plow in his place. That's right. Well, I hesitate about saying things because I'm afraid people will hear it and they'll think, well, he's talking about me. But old men ought to they ought to step back and let some young man do things that they're not able to do anymore. You know, 75-year-old man ain't got no business up a tree 25 feet cutting limbs off. Somebody else ought to be doing that. There's a time when you've earned the rest. We got an old chicken and she can't hardly walk, and it's just a chicken. But, you know, everybody kind of watch. I was telling them last night, you go out there in the chicken house at night in the winter, and all she's in the middle and all the other chickens are around her. Chickens. She is. I've watched. Every time, every night, that's the way it was. She's in the middle and the rest of them are all around her. Because she's old and arthritic. She can't hardly walk anymore. And looks like people ought to do that too. Who are the people that should testify of the man? All right, I'm just going to give you 2-3 little things here, and then I'm going to quit. We're doing good. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. Y'all listening to me? A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness to his bones. A man's wife should be the star witness of his worth as a man. That's right. She knows him better than anybody else knows him, if she's lived with him long enough to know him. And she knows what he really is, not what others may think or say about him. That don't matter. She knows what he really is. And it shouldn't just be her words that speak of his manhood, but her character. Her godly, submissive, sweet character should speak of her husband's godliness and goodness and gentleness and strength. That's right. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Yes, sir. And boy, that is just so true. I could just go on and on and on about all that. But what she is the best testimony of what her husband is. There you go again. Well, I know a man, and he was a good man. But boy, he had a wife. Well, yeah, I know things like that too. You think I don't know things like that? But I'm telling you how it is supposed to be. And how it should work when everything's right. That's right. A good man can marry a bad woman. John Wesley preached, and his wife would get up in the crowd and say, "He's a liar, don't believe a word he says." She was crazy. She was mad, insane. And he lived a life with that woman like that. And accomplished what he did. It's unbelievable. But she was the scourge of his life. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Better be careful how you pick them out, boys. Better look for that virtuous woman. She's hard to find. Her price is far above rubies. But you better look for them. You can find them. They're out there. They're still finding diamonds down there in that pit in Arkansas. How many people you think's been down there and grubbed through all that, and every little bit somebody finds a big one again? Yep. And everybody else overlooked. You better look for that jewel. She'll be your crown someday. Mercy. Proverbs 17:6. Children's children are the crown of old men. And the glory of children are their fathers. Well, that's quite a verse right there. That verse shows the generational respect and regard that is transferred from a man's children to his grandchildren. Let me read it to you again. Children's children are the crown of old men. And the glory of fathers are their glory of children are their fathers. The glory of children are their fathers. It's talking about children and children's children. The glory of the children are their fathers, and the children's children are the crown of the old man. You get that? This verse shows that his children are teaching their children the things he taught them through his life of faithfulness and righteousness. And it shows that his children's children hold him in high regard, not for what he is now, but for what he has been in his life. Listen to this. Blessed is every man, every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. That's Psalm 128, six verses. That's what it said. It's telling you the same thing that I just said to you. Who should be the testimony? Who should be the witnesses of a man? Should speak of what he is? His wife, his children, and his grandchildren. They ought to know what he is, and they ought to speak of him. It's a goodly heritage that's worth more than I can even begin to tell you here this morning. Oh, yes, it is. Proverbs 13, verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. And that's not speaking of money and land and riches. He left them something. A legacy. He left them something valuable. Something that they can live off of. I thought about this. The legacy of a man is like a well to draw upon. You can just keep going back and going back and gaining strength out of it again and again and again. Just by going back and remembering him. Remembering what he was like. Remember things he told you, said. Remember things he done. Psalm 112, verses 1 through 3. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. That is a man. Now, I've tried to get that across to you through all of this. A real man cannot be a real man without God. God, he's got to be a godly man, or he's a messed up man. He's not the true man without God. He may be tough. He may be a Rambo. He may be something else. I mean, boy. But he's not a full, true man. Amen. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. And that's not talking about money. Do you understand that? God never exalts wealth and riches as money and mammon of this world and things and possessions of this world. Jesus said, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. That's not what life's about. And that's not the true riches that he talked about either. Jesus talked about true riches. And that's what this is talking about too. A man that lives for God, a man that fears God and delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth, and the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. That's the legacy of a true man. His righteousness endureth forever. His influence, his name carries on. And you know, I've mentioned it before, been a long time, but you know, there was a study done about the descendants of Jonathan Edwards. Do you know who he was? How many of you know who Jonathan Edwards was? Sinners in the hands of an angry God. Lived back in the 1700s. Preached that message started the first great awakening in the United States. Had a great deal to do with the way our country was founded and the revolution in it all. I mean, sinners in the hands of an angry God. Jonathan Edwards, godly man. They did a study of his descendants up through the 1800s. And they ran a tree of another man who lived during the same years that Jonathan Edwards lived. He was a drunkard and an immoral man and a low life. So you can understand. They did a study of both families. Jonathan Edwards' family tree was filled with preachers, doctors, lawyers, successful people, honorable women. I mean, the family was outstanding through generations following him. The family of the drunkard, his family tree was filled with criminals and immoral people and thieves, and it was a disaster. It does work that way. You do understand that, don't you? His righteousness endureth forever. And the sins of the fathers are visited upon the children to the third and fourth generations. That don't mean God blames the children for the sins of the fathers. He says He don't ever do that. But the effect of the sins of the fathers carries on that far. You know, if you'll study the kings, there Uzziah started and he got mad at the house of God, and the 80 priests carried him and threw him out the door because he was trying to offer sacrifice and he was a king and it wasn't his place. And they said, "You can't do this. It's not your place to do this." So he got mad. Wouldn't go back. His kids didn't go. The third generation closed the house of God up and tore it down. I mean, destroyed it. And the next generation opened it back up. See? Sin carries on. Your influence does carry on. It's now let me wind it up with this here. It's so very important that a man be well-rounded. Be a well-rounded soul. And not be unbalanced or lopsided. Now, a man must be strong. He must be strong. But if... Are you listening to me? But if strong is all he is, he's not going to have a good old age. And his legacy is not going to be a blessing if that is all he is strong. That's real important, y'all. Real important. Strength combined with gentleness is what makes a man a blessing and his memory a precious thing. Yes, it is. A gentle man. There's nothing unmanly about being a gentle man. Did you ever get any food that's got too much salt in it? Did you ever get any that don't have no salt in it? Neither one's good, is it? No, it needs to have the right amount in it. Now, it does need to have salt in it. Some. But too much ruins it. Too little ruins it. You can always add it. But you can't take it out of it. If you overdo it with the salt, it's kind of ruined, ain't it? That's the way it is with strength in a man. Yeah. It's got to be there. But it's got to be there in the right amount. And at the right times. And if it's lacking, you can always add to it. But if you overdo it, you've ruined the whole thing. Need to remember that. A man must have dominion. It's part of being a man. God made us that way. You can see it in little boys. And we went through all of that. It's just that way. But if conquering others and acquiring more things is all that he's about, his end's going to be bitter and his memory is going to be rotten. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. But he that hateth gifts shall live. Proverbs 15:27. A man must be governed by a higher cause than himself. But if he is so obsessed with his cause and his purpose that he neglects the needs of his wife and his family, he'll fail in his cause and he'll lose it all to the wind. There's people that get in the ministry and they're so absorbed and wrapped up in it that their family goes to hell because they neglect home because they're so committed and so obsessed and so driven. Gotta have a higher cause to live for. A man's gotta be governed. But you better take care of things here on earth too, at home. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. Sad verse, ain't it? But it's true. A man must be godly, but if his religion makes him a tyrant and a bully, he'll be despised in life and in death. Legacy of a man. These things are important. Let me read you. I got three verses to read here, and then we'll be done. Well, it's not a verse. It's another quote. Let me read that, and then I've got a couple of verses I want to read too. But listen to this. Listen to me. To have known one good old man, one man who, through the chances and mischances of a long life, has carried his heart in his hand, like a palm branch, waving all discords into peace. If you know one old man like that, it helps our faith in God. It helps our faith in ourselves and in each other more than many sermons. Just to know one good old man that knows how to be a peacemaker without this machine gunning the whole thing to the ground. You know. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. That's trials. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And then one more verse, Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Jesus said this. He said, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Men, there's a reward for being a man. And it's not just for him, it's for everybody. When a man is a man, everybody is blessed. And everybody benefits. Everybody that his life touches. And you just think about that. You go back through history and you look in the Bible. You look at secular history and men who have stepped up and fulfilled the duty. I mean with strength, with courage, at what, regardless of the cost to themselves. There's been a few men through history that have saved us over and over. And everybody benefits and everybody's blessed for generations because of one man who's a man. And it's what I've said so many times. Every boy is a potential great man. There's the potential in every boy to be a great man. One of those great men. And it takes certain things to make them. And so I hope you all have benefited from this. And I hope you've got some things that you'll remember. And, you know, I hope it's like I just said a while ago, it may look like you're not listening and not getting a thing out of it, but maybe you are. I'll tell you one thing. One of these days, you will remember a lot of this stuff. These things that have been said in this, they're going to ring in your mind. And I hope it's not after it's too late for you. Yep, I hope that you'll wake up. Hope you boys will step up and be men. We need you. We need men. Our families, our churches, our country needs men. We don't need any newfangled junk. I mean, we need the old-fashioned, God-fearing, God-made men. We don't need Rambos. And we don't need bullies. And we don't need tyrants. We need men that are well-rounded, godly, gentle, strong men. who know God, who get their strength from God, who are guided and governed by God, we must have some of them. God was looking for one, just one. They're very precious, as we read in Isaiah a few weeks ago. In the time of trouble like we're in right now, a man is more precious, worth more than precious jewels and money. I mean, much silver. He's worth more than all of that. He's needed and valuable in a time like this. All right, let's stand.